morning, everyone. A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord today. It's good to see each and every one that is here. We welcome you in the Saviour's name, and we pray that the Lord will bless us and the Lord will meet with us as we're found in his house today. And to those that are online as well, we welcome you. Pray that the Lord will bless you as you tune into our broadcast. Do remember that today is our Building Fund Sunday, and the offering is lifted throughout both morning and evening service. And then tonight at 7 is our parents' evening as we bring the curtain down on the work amongst the children for this term. And we're looking forward as the boys and girls from our children's meeting will be along to take part. And Mr. Robert McConnell, who works under our mission board, will be here to bring the children's address. And do continue to pray for that meeting, that the Lord will bless it. The Lord will even gather in the families and give help to the children and to our brother McConnell, and that the Lord's name will be glorified in all things. We meet for prayer, do remember as well, at 6:30 in the upper room, and if you can be here for that, then that would be appreciated. For the young people, we remind you that there is an after-church youth rally over in Auchnacloy at 8:45, and the special speaker this evening is Mr. Andrew Irwin, who's in our Bible college at this time. He'll be along to give a word of testimony. So young people, if you're free, go along and have that fellowship together. Then tomorrow evening is the final children's meeting of the term. It's a fun night for the boys and girls here at the church at 7 p.m. And then on Wednesday evening, we meet for prayer and for Bible study at 8 p.m. and I'll be here in the will of the Lord to conduct that service. Do, as we always encourage, make that effort to come and to study God's word and to come around the throne of grace in prayer on the Wednesday evenings. Then on Friday, on behalf of our presbytery, commences our Easter Convention weekend, and our Easter Convention Missionary and Youth Rally is on Friday evening at the Martyrs at 8 p.m. and the special speaker will be the Reverend Ian Harris, the chairman of our mission board. And do make the effort, young people and older people alike, do make the effort to be along at those services. They are a blessed time. There'll be the updates and reports from various missionaries, and there'll be musical items as well. And then, as I said, the Reverend Harris will be preaching on Friday evening. And then for our own services here next Sunday, there is no Sabbath school, being Easter Sunday for the 1 week only. Sabbath school will be off. And then our services here in the church, 11:30 and 7 p.m. with the seasons of prayer before both meetings. And God willing, I'll be here to conduct those services. And then on Easter Monday, back up in Martyrs again for just the one meeting on the Monday this year at 7 p.m. on Easter Monday evening. And again, there'll be various reports and musical items. And then the moderator of our presbytery, the Reverend John Armstrong, will be along to minister in the word at that meeting. So as I said, if you can get along to any of those meetings Friday or indeed Monday, we certainly do encourage you to do so. And then as on behalf of all of the congregation, we do extend our Christian sympathy to the Cairns family on the passing of the Reverend Cairns and to the Kyle family on the passing of Mrs. Kyle. We do encourage you to continue to remember both families in prayer at this time, that the Lord would continue to be gracious and to be near to them. And certainly they have experienced and known the grace of God over these days, and may it be the case that they continue to know it in the days that lie ahead. And can I just mention and thank all who have helped over in any way and in every way over the days of the funeral services, both on Friday here in the church and also on Saturday up at Hillsborough. It is greatly appreciated. And there are some order of services from both of the funerals still in the front porch. If you would like a copy to have it, then please avail yourself of it as you leave the service today. We're going to commence now our worship, and we're turning to the very first item of praise in the hymn book that's listed for us in the psalm section, the psalm number 1. You find it on the page 5. That man hath perfect blessedness who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinners' way. The psalm number 1 will stand after the introduction, please. Stand as we sing.
Perfect
Let's unite together in prayer and seek the Lord's face this morning, His blessing upon our gathering together. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow before Thee. Lord, we do thank Thee and praise Thee this day for the grace of God. We thank Thee, O God, even in these days that we have been able to prove the sufficiency of that grace. Lord, Thou art so gracious and so merciful unto Thy people. Thou art the one, O God, who upholds us, who strengthens us, who undertakes in every single time of need. We thank Thee, Lord, that we know Thee, and Lord, Thou dost know us. We gather together, O God, this day afresh to worship and to praise Thee, to lift up our hearts in praise and adoration and thanksgiving unto our God in heaven. We thank Thee for the one at Thy right hand, that great High Priest who is touched with the very feeling of our infirmities. We thank Thee, O God, that He has known what it is to walk upon this earth. He has known all of the hardships of this life. Lord, He has known what it is to lose loved ones, to lose friends. He knew what it was to stand at a graveside and to weep. And Father, therefore, we come to Him today. We come to Thee even through Him today. O God, that Thou wilt be near to this congregation and to the families in it. Lord, we pray especially afresh for the Cairns and for the Kyle families. Lord, undertake for them. We thank Thee for what strength Thou hast given to them this week. Lord, for upholding them and for being very precious and very real to them. Continue, O God, in these days, Lord, to be that sufficiency to each one of them. We pray for those that are not saved. O Father, even through the passing of a loved one, Lord, that they will know what it is to number their days and to apply their hearts. O God, that in these days in which we live, that we will see the families of this congregation united in Christ Jesus, that each one will know what it is for to have and to enjoy household salvation. Lord, come and bless, we pray Thee. Bless this church as a whole. Lord, bless every avenue and every part of the work within it. We thank Thee, Lord, that there is a children's work. We thank Thee that there is a Sabbath school. Lord, we're thankful, O God, for each one that comes to it. Lord, for Thy servants who minister to the children. We're thankful for the children's meeting and the Monday nights. Lord, for every child that is there, and again for the workers that are involved in it. Lord, we're thankful even for the opportunity tonight to have the children come and to take part. Lord, bless this night. Bless indeed all of this day. Lord, even as tonight as the children come and as their parents, O God, bring them as well. Lord, fill this house. Give us, O God, the joy of seeing many precious souls under the sound of Thy word. Lord, throughout this day and into this night, O that this house and this place will be crowned with salvation. Lord, remember us, we pray Thee. Remember us this morning as we open up the book once again, and as we read from it and as we hear it preached. O Father, that Thou wilt still our hearts, that Thou wilt center our thoughts and our attention upon our Lord and upon our Savior and upon His precious word. Lord, be near to us and bless us. Lord, glorify Thy Son in our midst. Remember, O God, we're mindful of our elderly and of our sick. Remember those, O God, who can't be with us today. Be very near to them. Be very real to them, O God. Lord, may Thy presence be with them. Even those that are tuning in online at this time, Lord, may they know that the Lord is with them. May they know the Lord's hand upon them. Lord, bless each and every one. Bless, O God, every single effort that is made in this place and in this area. Remember all of our sister congregations as well. Be near to them. Bless in these days, we pray Thee. Lord, in the midst of so much darkness, O for the light of the gospel. In the midst, O God, of times of death and of hardship, O that there will be eternal life. Lord, that men and women will come out of that darkness by Thy Spirit. Those shackles of sin, O God, remove from their hands and from their feet. And Lord, that they will come and come to Thee. O God, hear and answer prayer. Remember us for good this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hymn number 6, we'll sing together, pages 177. The hymn number 6, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, To his feet thy tribute bring, ransom healed, restored, forgiven, who like thee his praise should sing. Hymn number 6, and again we'll stand as we sing. We continue to read through the Psalms together. We come this morning to Psalm 134. Psalm 134. Again, a very short, very brief psalm. We'll read it together. Psalm 134, entitled A Song of Degrees. The Word of God says, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion." Amen. You know, so often individuals will take that verse 2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and they'll say that's how you're supposed to praise. That whenever you sing, you should have your hands in the air. You should be even waving them about. But whenever it's speaking there of lifting up your hands, that's speaking specifically of prayer. Because in the olden custom in Israelite times, whenever an individual was praying, their hands were raised as if to receive the blessings from the Lord. It was never whenever they were singing. It was never in the items of praise. It was in the times of prayer that they would stand with their hands upraised in that custom. And so, just to remind you in these days, because there are many who would say, no, lift up your hands. I remember being in a church one time, and it was a Free Presbyterian church, but there was an individual visiting. And her hands were in the air, and they were waving everywhere, and then she lost her place in the hymn book, and she had to bring her hands down to find where she was singing from. But Just to remind you, it's not lifting up your hands when you're praising. That's meaning the prayers. And how important it is in our day and in each one of our lives to know what it is to pray in this house. To spend time in prayer in this house. To come aside even from the world. Yes, how important it is to pray at home. But how important it is to pray in this place. And may each one of us know what it is. Not simply to lift up our hands in prayer, but to lift up our hearts. And to cry unto the Lord even in this house. We'll sing just one more hymn together before we come to God's word this morning. The hymn 515, the page is 384, is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Saviour? Are you ready his service to do? We're going to remain seated for the first two verses, and then we'll stand for the verse 3, making it our final verse. Verses 1 and 2 seated, and then standing for verse 3, please. Is your love? Amen. I invite you to open your Bible now, please, in the book of Ruth in the chapter 2. The book of Ruth in the chapter number 2. I want to read the entire chapter this morning. It's our desire this morning just to bring an overview of this entire chapter. And then there'll be a short break for a couple of weeks from this book, and then we'll be returning to it. And when we return to it, then we'll go into the chapter in more detail. I trust already, as we've been in the studies in the book of Ruth, you've seen, and pardon the pun, but there is much to glean from it. This is a very, very wonderful book in terms of the grace of God. And passage after passage, verse after verse, you have so much teaching and so much application for us in our lives. And so, as I said, we don't want to rush through this book. We don't want to rush through the chapters. We'll give a flavor of this chapter today, and then we'll come back to it in the weeks to come. Namely, the book of Ruth, the chapter 2 and the verse 1. The word of God says, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? The servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is a Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. And so she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, but she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when they art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a place which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. And she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up, went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz, to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Amen. We know the Lord always blesses the reading of his precious word. Simply entitled the message today, Working in the Harvest. Working in the harvest. Let's just bow for a moment before the Lord, seek his blessing today. Father in heaven, we bow before thee. And even now, O God, as we come to thy precious word, we do pray that we will glean from it. We pray, O God, even for that desire within us, even as it was within Ruth, to follow behind and to lift what there was even for her. Lord, may we glean what there is for us even from this passage. Lord, even now, settle our minds, settle our hearts. Be very precious unto us in these moments. Fill us with thy Spirit. Teach us, O God, even from thy word. Glorify thy Son. In Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 9, verse 37, it says, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." We come to harvest time in the land of Israel. The time of famine and drought is over. Even as it told us in Ruth chapter 1, verse 6, it said, "The Lord has visited his people in giving them bread." And so Naomi, after all of the tragedy and the sorrow that she had experienced in Moab of losing her husband, losing her two sons, has now returned to Bethlehem, and with her is Ruth. What an amazing testimony of grace Ruth truly is. A woman brought up in a home which served false gods, hated the Lord, hated his people. A woman who had been taught from childhood that Israel was the enemy they must be contended with, and yet God opened her eyes. Even there in that journey, as she walked behind Naomi, God opened her eyes and God opened her heart, and she surrendered all, and she declared to Naomi, "Thy people shall be my people, thy God my God." She turned her back on it all. She turned her back on her own people, her own nation. She turned her back on her own religion. She turned to the Lord. She was willing to forsake all. She was willing to turn from all, to turn to Christ. My, isn't that the power of God in salvation? Isn't the love of God, as it says in the hymn, something wonderful, that it can take someone that's so dark and so against the gospel and can transform them to such a point where they're willing to turn from everything that they've known, from everything that they have believed, and they're willing to turn from it all and give themselves 100% completely, unequivocally to the Lord. See, that's the truth today. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter how many years you've believed what you've believed to this point. God can change you. God can turn you. And by that grace of God, he can give you a life in Jesus Christ. That's what Ruth did. She put her faith and trust not in Naomi. She put her faith and trust in Naomi's God. She gave up everything else and she came to Bethlehem with Naomi to live for the rest of her days. And as we read this morning, Ruth chapter 2, there is a wonderful account which is given to us at that time of bringing in the harvest. We read in the verse, or the final verse of chapter 1, it says there, "They came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest." It's a very special time in Israel, a very special time, of course, in all farming sectors. The time of harvest, whenever there is great effort put in by the individuals involved in it. Great work, great hardship, lack of sleep, and all of those things, but it's a very exciting time. Bringing in all of the harvest, gathering it, that real workmanship coming together, that unity in work, one with the other, families coming together, setting aside other jobs, even in the past days. And I remember even hearing about children in the past and how they would get out of school for a number of weeks in the old days, just to come aside, the exciting time, everyone working and pulling together to bring in the harvest. And there in Bethlehem, that work's going to take 3 months. Because the final verse of chapter 2, it tells us there's two harvests to bring in. There's both the barley and the wheat. And so both the barley and the wheat, both needs gleaned, both needs threshed and winnowed. There's the work involved in it. It's hard work. It's constant work. You just can't do one day and then decide to wake up the next day and go, "Nah, I'm not going to bother today." Every single day, the threshers, every single day, the men with the scythe and all of the servants had to be out, had to be up and had to be at the work. Someone's missing from it, well then it's going to fall behind. If one of the reapers isn't there, then the work's not going to get done. The fields aren't going to get covered as much as they should have. It's the same with the spiritual work, child of God. There's a spiritual harvest which needs the workers continuously. You can't just do a term or do a season and then say, oh, that'll do me. I'll maybe come back in a year or two. We are all to be the laborers of God when we're saved. Ephesians 2, the verse 10, it says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, unto service. And so as we lift up our eyes onto the fields, in other words, onto the world, may we see that it is harvest time. The Lord has brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this. There's a harvest to reap. May we see the work. This morning, as I said, we're just going to simply gloss over and skim over the top of this passage, but three things I'll leave with you in regards to the work of Ruth at harvest. First of all, in verse 2, you see her desire for work. Her desire for work. She says in verse 2 unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean the ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. You know, Ruth, having come to Bethlehem with her mother-in-law, she's left everything else behind, but now she lifts her eyes onto the need of the day. It's harvest. The crops need to be gathered in for their sake, for the people's sake. Food is needed to survive on, so the effort is there to be made. And Ruth is willing to go. Ruth is willing to give what she can to help in whatever way she can. She is willing to work. It's interesting when you look at that desire for work, she's willing to go alone. At no point does Naomi show any interest in going. At no point does Naomi say, well, I'm going to go to the fields as well. Remember, up until this point, Ruth has been following Naomi. Wherever Naomi goes, Ruth goes. When Naomi stopped, Ruth stopped. She says, where you go, I go. Where you lodge, I lodge. And now at harvest time, Naomi's just sitting in the house. She's not moving. She's not going out. And Ruth doesn't sit in the house. She takes initiative. She gets up. She goes. You know, some people only step up and step into the work if they have company. Sometimes in the church work, individual will only come forward and give themselves to the work if they know their spouse is going to be at their side. Or maybe their sibling or their child or their parent, and they'll say, oh, I'll get involved in the work as long as the other one comes too. If one doesn't go, then none go. If Ruth was waiting for her mother-in-law, she would never have went. If she was looking for her mother-in-law to lead her, to guide her, as she had brought her to Bethlehem, if she's looking for the mother-in-law, right, mother-in-law, what do we do? Sit here. Child of God, let me encourage you, don't sit around waiting for others. The fields are white on the harvest. The Lord said the laborers are few. Where is the desire to work? Even if it means going alone. Now you remember the disciples, as Christ called each one of them, he said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. What does it tell us? The disciples got up, they left behind everything. James and John were in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending the nets, but they didn't look to the father and say, well, Dad, are you going? If you leave your boat behind, we'll follow you. No, James and John left their father behind. And they went. You know, I think of the little chorus, I have decided to follow Jesus. What does it say? Though no one join me, still I will follow. That applies, yes, to salvation, but it ought to apply also to the work of the Lord. Though no one join me in the work of the Lord, yet I'll still follow. Even if my family are not motivated, even if my family are not up and going, yet I'm going to go. Ruth knew it would be lonely. Remember, this is a lady that is a complete stranger in the land. She knows no one apart from the lady who's staying in the house. And all of Bethlehem and all of that community, and they're all banding together, and you can imagine it, of course, they all know each other by name. And they all know each other, and they can trust each other, they can turn to each other, and yet here comes Ruth. She knows no one. Not one. And yet she says, I'm willing to go forward. I'm willing to step out of the house, step out of the comfort zone. I'm willing to go, and surrounded by complete strangers, I'm willing to work. She was willing to go, even if she was going alone, she was also willing to work, regardless of the role. Tells us there in the verse 2, she says, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn. There was nothing glamorous or appealing or exciting about what the role was. Literally, she would be following behind the reapers, lifting scraps, just bending down any little bit that fell to the ground as they scythed it, and as it was binded together, as it was tied, and as the stalks were set in the row ready for to be lifted by the wagons. Whatever little, tiny little strand just falls to the ground. Gleaning is just simply lifting a little strand. She was willing to do it. She's not the one who's going to get all of the praise at the end of the day. Because the reaper can say to the Lord of the harvest, the reaper is the one that can say, yes, together the reapers, we've cut down all of this field. The binders coming behind, they can say, yes, you can see there's all of the stacks ready. And there's the ones that are gathering and putting it onto the wagons. They can say, we have filled 3 wagons today. What can Ruth say? I lifted all the scraps down this wee path. Nothing glamorous. Nothing wonderful. And yet she wanted to do it. That's what she asked Naomi permission to do. Let me lift the scraps. That's what she came and asked the chief reaper as she presented herself at the field. She's saying to the chief reaper, let me lift the scraps. Let me just get those little bits. You know, so often, again, in the work of the Lord, people are willing to do the popular jobs. Those that people see. Those that carry with them the status. Not too many are willing to do the lowly jobs. You know, the work of the Lord, it needs all of the body of Christ. It needs all of the church, and there are many roles. Yes, there are those who sow the seed. There are those to water. There are those to cut. There are those to bind. There are those to reap. But we also need those to glean. We also need those to just come along, as it were, to lift the little scraps, the smallest, most insignificant works within the church. They all need done. Now I think of the disciples of Christ, those that followed after the Lord. At times they were given the opportunity to speak, to do miracles. You read of that in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Whenever they came back in the verse 17, it tells us they returned with joy and they're saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They did great and wonderful work. They went out 2 by 2 and the Lord blessed them. The Lord used them. They did great, wondrous work. You know, in other days they were just sent, go and find a room for us. Go and buy some food. Go and just simply work out the logistics for the next journey. They weren't always given the wonderful works where everyone saw. There were many times they had to go on ahead or maybe follow on behind. Just simply doing the donkey work, as it were, making sure everything was there and food was on the table. they had a desire to work. Let me ask the question this morning before I move on, do we have a desire to work? Are we willing to do whatever we can, even if it's the lowest jobs, even if it's simply cleaning and scraping weeds off a driveway, or cleaning gutters, or just simply doing the cleaning of the church, or whatever the lowest form of work that we can find to do, are we willing to do it? She had a desire to work. But then I want you to see, secondly, she was dedicated to the work. Because in verse 7, whenever the chief reaper is speaking, he says halfway down in verse 7, she hath continued even from the morning until now. In verse 14, the end of the verse, it tells us that she did eat, was sufficed, she left. In verse 17, tells us that she gleaned in the field until even. Now, Deuteronomy 24 in the verse 19, it teaches that the orphan and the widow was allowed to come and to lift the scraps of harvest to survive. It was a care of the nation. It was a right of the widow to be able to glean and to be able even just to come into a field behind the reapers to take of that food without having to pay for it, without even having to ask for it. It was her right as a widow. And yet she came and she asked. And we see, if you read and look into the verse 7, the chief servant is surprised. Because he told, whenever Boaz came and he says, whose damsel is this? Now understand this. This chief reaper didn't like her. You can see even that bitterness because she's a Moabite there in the verse 6. He says, it is the Moabitish damsel. This is not someone that's really enthralling him. This is not someone that he wants to like in any way. And yet he has to say in the verse 7, he says, she said unto me, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers. She actually asked, whereas other women just come on in. She's very unique in that regard, and she's also unique in the fact that she's still there. Because widows, whenever they got enough to do them for a meal for that day, they would just get up and go. They would take what they needed, and they could say, right, there's enough to make my dinner tonight. I'm away home. And yet Ruth, she stayed, and she stayed, and she stayed. She had a little break, it tells us. She had that little rest in verse 7. She tarried a little in the house, and then she just went straight back out to the field. She's there all morning, all afternoon. And even she stayed till the even time. Didn't matter that the day was hot. Didn't matter that she was tiring. She took her break, and she only took her break. Because you look at verse 14, it tells us that she did eat, was sufficed, and she left. She took a shorter break than everyone else. Did you notice that? She ate what she needed to even strengthen her body once again, give her the energy again. Everyone else is still sitting around taking their ease for an extra while. She immediately gets up and goes back to the work. And so Boaz is left talking to the reapers. Everyone else has returned to the, or everyone else is seated. She's returned to work. There's no idleness. There's no sitting at ease. She is dedicated. Ecclesiastes 9 to verse 10, it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. She never slacks. She never looks for the easy way out. She doesn't sit at lunchtime and think, well, yous are all sitting, so I'll sit too. Yous are all taking a longer break. The Lord of the harvest is here. Sure, we'll just sit with him. No, she takes what he gives her. She enjoys what he gives her. Strengthens her. She says, I must get back. You know how wonderful a commendation it is of her dedication. When Boaz, who is the Lord of the harvest, he comes to survey his harvest, he takes note of her. Yes, I'm sure there was an interest immediately because she's a stranger. He's never seen her before. There would have been that interest. Well, I wonder, who is this stranger? Who is this individual I've never known or seen before? But I believe there's a greater interest in her because of her dedication. And remember, you think to yourself, there's the man in the field, and they have the scythe in the hand, and they're just constantly cutting and cutting and cutting to bring it all down. And there's all the ones binding it together and stacking it. And there's the wagons rolling in, ready to put it all in the wagons to get it into the sheds in time. And yet there's a wee woman, and she's just lifting up the little tiniest wee bits. And yet the Lord of the harvest doesn't look at the scythers, doesn't look at the reapers in any way. He looks, there's one woman, and she won't stop working. She's not given much that's going to help me. She's not bringing in and doing all of the work that's going to financially benefit me as the Lord of the harvest. But my, she works. What a blessing it is, the work of the Lord. The Lord of the harvest visits his workers. And Christ passes by. And he gives that encouragement to those who are involved in the work. You know, you see it there for Ruth, don't you? You see the reward that is given to her. He tells her, you take water when you're thirsty. You take food when you're hungry. And he even hands her the food himself. It tells us, verse 14, he sits with her. She sat beside the reapers. He is the one, verse 14, who reaches her parched corn. And then when she gets up, she goes back. What does he say? Reapers, you make sure you drop more for her. You make sure you drop extra than what you would normally do. Even though it means it costs him. Because remember, these men are told, you cut down, you bring in my harvest, don't be wasteful. The more harvest that's brought in, the more can be sold. The more money then can be gathered in to me. So don't you be dropping and don't you be careless in the harvest field. And yet here's the Lord of the harvest saying, no, you make sure you drop more. So she has more. Remember, it's a lowly job she's doing. It's the thankless task that she's doing, and yet Boaz blesses her, and she has to cry out, the verse 10, and she has to say, why have I found grace? Why are you blessing me? Who am I, Lord? She's just a Moabite. She's not even a child of Israel. And yet there's the Lord of the harvest, and he's coming to her, and she's there working at the lowest end of the work. A complete stranger, an outsider, and yet there's the Lord of the harvest blessing her. And what does Boaz say in the verse 11? It hath been fully shown to me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. Child of God, the Lord takes note of those who serve him. He takes note of our service, of our faithfulness. He takes note of our dedication. Remember this, when you stand before the Lord in judgment day, when you hear the well done, what does it say? Well done, good and faithful what? Christian? Remember, well done, good and faithful servant. God commends his servants. And No, the well done is there for those who are dedicated. Those who use their talents for the king, not for those who bury them. Over in Colossians in the chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, it says, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord, that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Ruth never quit. She worked and she served and she gathered. Know the work of the God and the spiritual harvest, it needs dedicated workers. It needs dependable workers. It needs reliable. It needs willing workers. One who are wanting to be there. One who are desirous to be there. And ones who want to stay there. Is that you? Regardless of the task, regardless of whether it's front and center or if it's backstage, are you dedicated? Are you dedicated to the work in this church? You notice that there? Ruth didn't go anywhere else. She stayed in that one field for the whole harvest. Yes, there were many fields. The whole of Bethlehem, every field was bringing in their harvest. And yet the Lord of the harvest, he said to her, "You stay here." Yes, there's needs in other places. You stay here. You work here. You dedicated to this church? Are you trying to run to every field? The Lord has called each one of you here to this church. Give you that love for this church. Many of you I'm looking out on today, called even into membership. The Lord showed you clearly. He gave you that burden. I want to be a member in this church. Tell me, are you only working in this church? Are you running here, there, and everywhere saying, "No, I'll do a bit for here, and I'll do a bit for here." No, the Lord has called you here. The Lord of the harvest says, "You work in my harvest." She was dedicated to the work. But then finally, this morning, the verse 17 through to 19, I want you to see her delight in the work. Her delight in the work. Tells us she gleaned in the field until even, and she beat out that she had gleaned. It was about an ephah of barley. She took it into her mother-in-law. You notice the words there at the end of verse 18. Mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, she brought forth, and she gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Remember the words of the hymn, "Little is much, and God is in it." You know, we see that in this chapter. Ruth had left her mother-in-law in the morning time having desire to go to glean. And so Naomi thought to herself, "Well, she's only gleaning. It's only going to be enough. Hopefully she'll work enough and we'll have enough for a meal. Hopefully we'll be able just to have supper tonight, the two of us." And yet Ruth, when she returns, she comes rejoicing, carrying a great reward in her hands. An ephah, as it speaks about there in the verse 17, is about 20 to 25 pounds worth of weight. Younger people, that's about 10 kilos, just in case you don't know the old poundage. That's enough to feed them for a week. And yet that night, they didn't have to start into that 20 to 25 pounds worth of that ephah. That night, did you notice the words? She still had lunch left over. Because the food that she was handed at lunchtime by the Lord of the harvest, she ate what she needed at that time, and then she'd put the rest into her little bag. And she didn't need it throughout the rest of the day, so she brought it home that night, and she was able to bring out her leftovers from lunch, and she was able to feed her and Naomi that night for dinner from her lunchtime. So there's the ephah still waiting for the next day. Naomi's looking at her, and she's looking at the great reward that there is, the great bountiful harvest even there that she's carrying in her lap. And she's asking that question, how is it possible? How could you possibly have gleaned so much? How could you possibly have got so much? You're not that important of a worker. What you asked me to do, what you wanted to do today, is not a very important role. How could you possibly have so much? You're only lifting scraps. Where did you go? Who were you with? Well, isn't it wonderful whenever you're coming from the work of the Lord, bringing your sheaves and rejoicing? Notice her joy in the verse 19. She said unto her mother-in-law, in the bottom of the verse 19, she says, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Notice something about that. She gives the praise to the Lord of the harvest, not to herself. She didn't come in and say, oh mother, I worked hard. And she did. She didn't come in to say, mother, I did more hours and I took less breaks than everyone else there. And she did. She says, the man's name's Boaz. That's why we have this. Even though she was lonely, even though it was hard, even though it was exhausting, even though there at the start, and you can picture there in the morning time, there's all of the women and they're all gathered around, walking behind, all of the widows, the women are all there, they're lifting up the scraps, and then bit by bit, one by one, they all turn back. They all go home. And Ruth's still there. Even though at the start she wasn't welcome, there was difficulty for her when she first came to Boaz's field. There was difficulty for her to be accepted. The chief reaper didn't like her. If it was his choice, she would have went on to the next field. Get away from us. We don't want you. You're a Moabite. And yet whenever the Lord of the harvest, Boaz, stepped in, that changed everything. She comes home rejoicing, every provision, every reward I have, it's all because of Boaz, not because of me. Not the case for us. We're working in the Lord's harvest. It's his field, the world. It's he that draws near to us. It's he that helps us. It's he that works with us. 1 Corinthians 3, the verse 9 says, we are laborers together with God. It's he that refreshes us in the work. It's he that gives us the water of life. It's he that feeds us from his word. It's he that encourages us to keep on working. It's he that encourages us to keep on being faithful. It's he that encourages us with the blessings. Here's the food, and here's keep going, and your blessings coming more than you even deserve. It's he that enables us to return home rejoicing. It's all of Christ. I'm So let me encourage you, child of God, today, keep on working. There is a harvest to bring in. There must and there will be the ingathering of souls before the harvest is over. The time of the Lord's reaping isn't finished. So keep fast. Even it tells us there in the verse 21. Boaz had told Ruth, "Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." Keep working here. Ruth, don't go to another field. You stay with my men. Said earlier, don't simply move from place to place, child of God. Give yourself to this work. In this field, let me say to every single member in this congregation, there's a work to be done. There's a work to be done in prayer. That's one of the key works that a member ought to be busy in this church, is a place of prayer until you're physically unable to come. Every Wednesday, there ought to be that effort being made up in that room and down here. God looks for his reapers. God looks for his prayer warriors. You know, as I thought over this last week, two children of God that have gone home, they gave themselves to the work until they physically couldn't anymore. But even at home, they never stopped. Our sister Ray Kyle continued to phone round to encourage others. Myself included, she would phone me to encourage. There's a work to keep going. Our brother Cairns, physically unable to do what he once did, but even from his own home in times of visitation, he was working for the Lord, encouraging. We are to be involved in the work until the end of the day. Not just until break time or lunch time. The Lord says, you stay fast with my reapers. And the Lord then will give the rewards. There will be the well done, good and faithful servant. Young members, young people, you willing to commit yourself to the work? To the work of prayer, young people, we look for you. Older people, are you willing to keep on working? To keep on in the Lord's service? To do whatever you can every day, every week. Ruth worked in the harvest. May we. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before thee. We thank thee and praise thee, O God, this day, that whenever we give ourselves to the work of the Lord, and doing whatever we can, even the lowest, menial jobs that there is, yet the Lord takes note of every one of them. We thank thee for the Lord of the harvest, our Savior Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, that he watches over and he sees it all. But we thank thee, O God, that even though the work may be hard, it may be strenuous, Yet we rejoice that in the Lord's work there is a reward. There is a harvest to bring in. Oh, Father, that we will have that joy, even as Ruth did as she returned home. That we will have that joy, that rejoicing in our hearts. That we can say our reward is here. Why? Because the Lord's name was Jesus. He hath given us all. Oh, Father, write thy word upon our hearts. Take us to our homes in safety. Remember tonight, Lord, bring us again. Give us a desire once again to be here and bless the children. Bless thy servant who will minister. Know that this day will be crowned with salvation. Hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.